You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Friday. It is almost here. The moment we have been waiting for, Michigan in the college football playoff semifinal at the Verbo Fiesta Bowl against the TCU Horned Frogs. I lobbied for it. We're both exhausted. It has been a week, but we have the man right here, Mr. Mackey Award-winning tight end, Jake Butt also. And we've only been able to say this, I think, once on the podcast. BTN host.
That's right. We're on the other side now, officially. That's what I was telling you the other day. This whole thing started about a year and a half ago, last season. Not just for me, but for Michigan, too. And we find ourselves in the playoff once again.
So, first, before we even get started into the game, you had a really cool moment earlier today, or was it yesterday?
That was yesterday.
When interviewing Jim Harbaugh, where he took a step back and had a moment of pride. How did that feel? If you didn't see it, Jake asked Jim a question, and he had a moment where he just was like, I have to just stop and say how proud of this guy I am right here.
So we were sitting up at the desk. I was with the rest of the Big Ten crew, and you know, I was like, "Hey, it was my turn to ask Jim a question." We'd all went through a couple times, so I was going to ask the last question. And as I'm asking him the question, I'm making eye contact with him. You know, I could see he stopped really listening to me in a sense, and just this big smile came over him. I'm like, "What's going on?" And he was like, "Man, I just want you to know you're doing a great job. I'm really proud of you." And like, of course, I love Coach Harbaugh, respect him. You know, and now I'm on the other side. You know, when I'm playing for him, it's one thing. But now on the other side for him to say that was a cool moment.
Well, that is very well deserved, and we're all very, very, very proud of you. And not just me, but I know everyone that is a Michigan fan and everyone who has been watching and listening to this podcast all along and watching your journey.
Appreciate you guys.
Very excited about that. But we need to get into some business here because Michigan is about to embark upon yet another journey. Here a potential two-game season, but in order to make it a two-game season, they have to win this next game. Jake, what is your overview of this game? When you take a look at what TCU presents, what is the main thing that you think that Michigan needs to do against the Horned Frogs?
So TCU as a team, they win games because they're an explosive offense. Like, they're not really known for having a stout defense. Okay, let's just start with the offense. How do they put up points? Well, explosive is the correct word for it. They are number one in the nation in touchdowns coming from greater than 20-plus yards. 27 total scores of 20-plus yards this year. So that's about 14 points per game. They're getting about two touchdowns worth every single game with explosive touchdowns. So what Michigan has to do, Michigan's got a great defense. I think they're third nationally in total defense. What Michigan has to do is say, hey, we can't give up these easy points. We can't just let them hit us for one play and burn us, which is what Michigan did to Ohio State. We saw that. Michigan's got to sit back and say, let's avoid allowing TCU to do what they've done all year, which is burn teams in the back end. Let's force them to drive the ball down the field, because Michigan does have one of the best defenses in the country. Force them to beat you over 6, 7, 8, 9 plays through a drive, and Michigan's get a bet on themselves.
And it's a very versatile, balanced attack. And I know we spent a lot of time in general over the last month discussing TCU and its passing offense. But how much of a danger is that run game for TCU? Because it's not just Kendre Miller, who has close to 1,400 yards. It's also Max Duggan, who is a plus player when it comes to running the football himself. What kind of challenge is that when they have those types of vertical threats on the outside, really good slot receivers as well, but also can run at a high clip, 25th rushing offense in the country?
I mean, yeah, they check. There are multiple offense, and you have the fact that you have a quarterback that's willing and able to run the ball. Michigan hasn't seen an offense like this all year. Ohio State's an extremely explosive offense. C.J. Stroud isn't tucking it and running, though, very often. Definitely not like Duggan. So that has its own challenges. You have every single person has to do their job, all 11 guys. If I'm the linebacker and my job is to keep my eyes on Duggan, that's my job. And if the running back is running away from me, that's not for me to worry about. My job is to contain Duggan. The next guys who's supposed to rally up on the running back, that's your job. If you're in the back end in coverage and you're man-to-man, You don't need to make the play. Stick on your man because anything can happen. It forces you to play discipline, team, 11-man defense. So that's the challenge. I think Miller is probably one of the more underrated backs in the country. Another stat for you, Donovan Edwards and him are two of the top five backs nationally in rushes of greater than 50 yards. Mm-hmm. So you have two very explosive running backs in this game. I think for Michigan to win, you got to take one or the other away. Mm-hmm. You got to shut down TCU's run game. One, because that makes them one-dimensional. They're great passers, so I don't mean that disrespectful. But if you take away the run, that means you're winning first and second down, which mm-hmm. means you're putting in TCU in third and long situations. Statistically, that's a game Michigan's going to want to play. They do a good job of getting after the pass rusher or the passer.
Now, someone like you, you have experience in this, this long lull when it comes to the preparation. That you can really go and pour over what a team does, top to bottom, left and right, and you have almost a month in order to do it. What are the challenges as a former player when you're in that situation, when you're sitting there saying, like, we have another game, but we're not going week to week. Mm-hmm. We have to wait a whole month to do it. Is that more difficult? Is it easier because you get rest? What is that like?
There is challenges and benefits to it. And I think you got to look at a couple things. Maturity of your team and leadership. And that's certainly, I came away being very confident this Michigan team's ready. It's also on coaching and your strength staff and training staff to structure this time to use it to your advantage, because the team that can structure it well, you're going to use that first week to get your body back fresh and strong after a long season, and then you slowly start to gear up for this game. That's all on coaching and leadership. And then the importance, really, once you get to game time, is to start fast. And I said this on Big Ten today. I was like, there's a very important portion of this game is going to be those first 7-8 minutes in the first quarter, coming off a long break. You want to be the first team to throw that punch. You want to start to impose your will. Good fact for you, once again, I got all the facts. Michigan is number one nationally in scoring on their first drive. They've had 13 first drives this year, 13 games. Mm-hmm. They've scored on 11. Mm-hmm. Of those 11, they've scored 9 touchdowns, which is also first nationally. Mm-hmm. So history tells us Michigan's going to be able to come out and start out fast.
All right. Well, we are going to look at the other side of the ball here momentarily. But before we get to that, if you're looking for a delicious treat but don't want all of the fat and the calories, then you've got to try a Built Bar. We just got through the holidays, and I know my goal is to eat a little healthier this year. That hasn't really happened thus far, thanks to the Fiesta Bowl and how much they're feeding us. It is absolutely amazing here. Nonetheless, if you're like me and you want to eat healthier but don't want to compromise taste, and then, man, you know what? I've got the thing for you. You've got to try Built. Jake, you've tried Built.
Delicious.
It is absolutely delicious.
You can vouch for it.
And the great thing about it with Built Healthy is actually tasty. Seriously, they're so delicious you won't even think they're good for you. Perfect for your New Year's resolution. What makes Built Bars so good? Well, for starters, they're all covered in 100% real chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. And then they come around with unbelievably delicious flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, which is my favorite, and coconut almond. I don't know how Built does it, but these bars taste like a candy bar while maintaining an amazing macro sense there. And what's even better is they're healthy. 130 calories, rather, 4 grams of sugar, and a whopping 17 grams of protein. And now you don't need to wait around for a box, to get a box, rather. For years, we've been talking about ordering Built Bars at Built.com. Now you can get them at your local Walmart or even Sam's Club. That's right. Head to your nearest Walmart today, and you can walk to the pharmacy station and grab yourself a box of Built Bars. You can pick up a four bar box of cookies and cream, double chocolate, coconut puffs. If you're close to Sam's Club and run in and grab a 13-bar box with our hit flavors, brownie, batter, and churro, you can thank me later. All right, so it's a pretty big testament to how exhausting a week like this is, because reading is a chore, and putting my own little embellishments on it. Jake, I don't know if you heard this, I'm sharing this to you for the first time, but what I found, one of the most interesting comments that came out of the year, or out of this week rather, to me, was Travius Hodges Tomlinson. He said that one of the things that, he's the cornerback, he said that one of the things that going up, Michigan going up against TCU, that's going to be a struggle for the Wolverines, is that they haven't seen team speed on either side of the ball the way that they're about to see. And he said, team speed beats out big. And he just said, you know, they do a great job going up against big bodies in the Big Ten, but thinks that they are going to really struggle against TCU's ability to run. When you hear that, what are your thoughts?
I'm trying to remain unbiased a little bit here. I respect it. I mean, TCU, they have an underrated defense. All right, they're not slouches out there. Their secondary is extremely good. Hodges is all conference cornerback. So he's a stud. So I don't want to demean them or anything, but no, speed beats power if you're in a game of speed. Mm-hmm. But Michigan, they don't want to play in that game. They can play in that game if they absolutely have to. Mm-hmm. But when you're on offense, you dictate the tempo. TCU has to match their physicality. So sure, speed. We were talking about this as well. What type of offense does Michigan run in terms of their running game? It's gap scheme. Mm-hmm. It's all football lingo. What does that mean? TCU runs a 3-3-5, and that's to have extra speed elements on the field. So they only have three down linemen. You see Michigan sometimes with five big bodies up on the line. TCU rolls with three. The five is for the secondary elements. So those guys are flying around. They're going to have to shoot gaps. What TCU is going to have to do and what they did against Kansas State, they'll have their three down linemen, and then other guys are shooting gaps. Go back to the gap scheme. So you have zone scheme, which is everybody's stepping. It's zone right. Everyone steps to the right. Zone left, everyone steps to the left. Gap scheme, what Michigan does is you block your gap and then you pull guys around. So if you're running gap scheme to the strong side of the right offensive line, everyone's blocking their gap play side, they're all stepping down, and then you pull guys against the grain. Why do I say all that? Because when TCU shoots the gap, you might say, well, how do you know who has what? You don't worry about it. You block your gap. That's why they call it gap scheme. If a linebacker comes in your gap, smack him in the mouth right now. Don't even need to think about it. When you're pulling around, you see color, you smack him in the mouth. Gap scheme is built to go against this type of defense. If you want to do a bunch of trickery and shoot guys and twist guys, we don't care if you're Michigan. We just follow the principle, which is block our gap. So TCU, I mean, you're going to have to match that. It's going to be a challenge for them. They're probably going to have to try to win first and second down. But I mean, I've heard them also say, hey, we played Kansas State this year. Sure, Kansas State, similar identity. They want to run the ball. They got a mobile quarterback similar to JJ. Michigan's the back-to-back Joe Moore Award-winning offensive line. That's not Kansas State. Mm-hmm. No disrespect to them. They're a good team. This is Michigan's earned the right to say, TCU, you got to match us.
And that's one of the things that I've been thinking about all week because, like you said, Joe Moore Award-winning offensive line two times in a row. This is the best offensive front that they'll have seen. And they can sit there and try to essentially compartmentalize and make themselves think like this is going to be no different than facing Kansas State or Texas or any of those other teams they've thrown out. The Big Ten has long been in that conversation with the SEC. SEC has typically won that conversation, but the Big Ten has been right behind them. The Big 12, not so much. There's a lot of parity there, more parity in the Big 12 than there is the Big Ten. But the top of the line is a little bit different. You still have to go through Penn State. You still have to go through Ohio State. And still when you sit there and you say, we have team speed and Michigan has power and they have strength and they have size, you're also not really acknowledging that Michigan has team speed.
Sure, sure. Well, here's another thing, because you bring up the conferences, and I think this is an interesting point. Big 12, they haven't won a playoff game. Mm. They've been here. They haven't won. Most of that falls on Oklahoma. And I think back my time at Michigan. I believed we could have been Big Ten champions. I believed we had that kind of talent. It doesn't matter. You have to do it, right? Yeah. You can, and you should have that conversation and believe it. Until you do it, no one should believe you. So Kansas State, come in here with a lot of confidence. You're saying all the right things. Tomorrow will be your opportunity to prove it. Mm-hmm. And until then, you know, it's just talk amongst yourselves. So we shall see. I think you bring up a good point. They'll be surprised by Michigan speed. Donovan Edwards is this guy, when he breaks through, it doesn't look like he's rolling that fast, right? Mm-hmm. Great running form, great stride length. He's just chewing up ground, and it's kind of deceiving for secondary elements. A number of times Ohio State secondary or Purdue secondary thought they were taking a good angle on him. Mm-hmm. But he's just gone steadily around you. So I hope TCU isn't going in too confident that Michigan's some slow, sluggish team that you might have thought that they would sport back in the 1980s.
Well, last one, because we got to get you going here. I want to discuss very briefly, just when we kind of already have, but Michigan's offense versus TCU's defense, I think, is an underrated matchup here. Mm-hmm. Personally, the way I see it is I envision it being a situation where, as good as TCU's defense is, Michigan should be able to do what it wants, because it's been able to do so against teams that have at least statistically had better defenses all year. How do you see this matchup, Michigan's offense overall versus TCU's defense?
I think Michigan will have success running the ball, and we just spent some time talking about it. So then you say, what will Michigan build off of it? I think the key factor is Blake Corum went down. So who's your second running back? Your second best runner is your quarterback, JJ. JJ is going to be a big piece of this game. And, you know, earlier in the year, especially when Cade was injured, I don't think Coach Moore or Coach Harbaugh really wanted to run JJ as much because they didn't have an insurance policy. You don't have an insurance policy at all here. You're playing for the national title. You drain the tank. So I'd imagine we see some design quarterback runs. JJ, you know, we saw that in big moments against Ohio State, some of it in Purdue as well. Now, also off the run game, we talked about how TCU is planning to have linebackers and safety elements flow downhill. I played tight end. I'm licking my chops if I know we're in play action and you have me and your first two steps are downhill. Because my first two steps, now I'm behind you. Now you're in a trail position. I know where I'm going. You don't know where I'm going. It's a matchup you should win all day long. And if they want to, if TCU wants to, you know, overcompensate and you know, spend more resources on the tight end, Cornelius Johnson's playing great football. Ronnie Bell, I mean, I can't even believe, I almost forget that he had that severe ACL tear last year. He looks great. Roman Wilson has the capabilities. So there's a number of weapons Michigan has that are more than capable of getting the job done. It's just, why open our playbook when we can just play big boy football? Let's keep the guys healthy. Let's impose our will. Let's create this identity and emphasize this identity. I think you can see some creativity, and you'll see some guys have some big games this weekend and in the, you know, expecting Michigan to win in the national title.
Well, it's going to be extremely fun to see. That is coming up at 24 hours from right now when we are talking about it, and certainly probably less at the point in which you are watching and or listening. It will be happening. I'm going to let Jake get out of here. Thank you very much, Jake. So glad to have you back on, and so proud of you again, man.
Thanks, brother.
All right, we will return as I give you my final score prediction here momentarily. All right, my co-star has left me, but I am going to sit in the same seat, empty chair, honor of Jake. So glad he could join us. We made it come to fruition despite our crazy schedules here in Arizona. Nonetheless, we do have this game coming up. So how do I see it unfolding? We have had a month to talk about it. We've had a month for us to dissect it and all of that. And honestly, I am very, 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 very bullish on Michigan in this one. I think that the Wolverines are going to be able to do most of what we have seen throughout the season. I do want to remind you, and this is kind of echoing one of the things that, actually, I don't think Clayton ended up bringing it up when he was on earlier in the week, but he certainly was thinking it, he said, and wanted to bring it up, is that Michigan, despite the one-score game against Maryland, which we all know was essentially a 15-point game until garbage time, you know, things were dwindling down. They had little to no chance to win the game. I mean, certainly a miracle could have potentially happened. It didn't. But the only game that Michigan has really found itself in a place where it wasn't comfortable, if not dominant, was against Illinois, when you had no Blake Corum for the majority of the game, no Donovan Edwards at all, no Luke Schoonmaker, no Mike Morris. You had just multiple guys that were out that are all the main characters of this football team. Now, you have all of those guys back except for Blake Corum. So they're in a much, much better spot than they were. And I think that TCU, when it sits there and says, you know, they're just strength, they don't have speed, I think that they are vastly underestimating what Michigan brings to the table on that front. I think Michigan has just as much speed as TCU. And I think that you've seen that in a lot of these games. Now, there is a difference. Sometimes we haven't seen the receivers necessarily get open as they did, say, against Ohio State. We haven't necessarily seen that all of the time. And Travis Hodges-Tomlinson is certainly one that can challenge when it comes to that. But I look at this Michigan team. It's more talented from top to bottom. And talent doesn't always win out. You know, we just saw Ohio State, but the trenches generally do. And I do think that TCU is probably underrated on both the offensive and the defensive sides. But I just think that Michigan is vastly superior. You talk about that Joe Moore award-winning offensive line. And we saw them kind of crumble against Georgia last year. TCU's front is not Georgia. And then you go the other side of the ball. Michigan's defensive line is definitely the best that TCU will have seen all year. And they have had some moments where they have given up sacks. They have given up penetration. And again, I just if you're Max Duggan and you're running for your life and you're not able to turn up field, Michigan does a really good job at setting the edge, which is not exactly the type of thing that you want to see if you're him. I just think that negates a lot. It all starts up front for Michigan. If you can't get that type of pressure up front, then you're in trouble. Now, not saying they don't have players, right? Steve Avila, he's a consensus All-American. He's a very, very good player, but he is not the entirety of the offensive line. And you've got a nose tackle lining up against the Remington Trophy winner in Oluwatimi. These are things that do not work in TCU's favor. Ultimately, when I look at this matchup, when Michigan and TCU were scheduled to play against each other, this was one game where I looked at it and said, this is not a good matchup for TCU, and this is a great matchup for Michigan. If Michigan had to play Georgia, heck, even if Michigan had to play Ohio State again, a team that they beat by 22, I do not think that those are as good of a matchup as TCU is for Michigan. TCU does not really have the elements to consistently beat Michigan. Could they do it in one game? They absolutely can. I am not saying TCU cannot win this game. So no old takes exposed here in that sense. TCU certainly is capable of beating Michigan. But at the same time, I feel like this is a Michigan team that this is what they have circled on the calendar. This is the game. Not as much the Ohio State game, not the Big Ten championship game, the college football playoff semifinal, and to give them the right to play for a national championship for one game decides it all. I think that Michigan is more poised for that. I think Michigan has had just the mentality that's absolutely needed. And I think that they have the players that can go out there and execute it. Now, game plans, those are always important. And one of the things that certainly frightens me when I look at this is that TCU has been really good in the second half of games, just like Michigan has. So it's going to be incumbent upon Michigan to assert itself. If it does, then game over. If it doesn't, could find this to be a ball game. But Michigan has been dominant all year. TCU has found itself in really just struggle sessions against teams it's had no business being in. I think that TCU is in over its head. So that is what I think. So I actually, and I know there's a lot of people that have different predictions, I am going to go ahead and say Michigan wins this game. I think they're going to give up some points, more so than we've kind of seen in some of these games. But I just don't think that TCU is going to be able to stop Michigan's offense with consistency, and I think that that is the deciding factor. I have Michigan winning against TCU in the college football playoff semifinal at the Verbo Fiesta Bowl and advancing to the national championship game in Los Angeles. I have Michigan winning the game by a score of 42-24. So that is where I am at. All right, that's it. Next is the game. We move on. So that'll do it. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. We will return regardless from Los Angeles because I'm close enough where I can go visit family and go to Disney and all that stuff. So I am going, well, to Orange County and San Diego County at least next week. So we will return then. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Thank you to Jake Butt for joining. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.